We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'ilu and Nishma, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, as well as to commemorate the yahrzeit of Mindy's mother, Batsheva Bas Chaim Zara. The neshamas should have an aliyah. Okay, so today we are in a brand new Mishnah, and if we're feeling bold, we will try to do two Mishnayos, because even though they're two, they're related and they're stated by the same person, so in theory they could be looked at as one. So let's see if we can tackle it, but we're going to do one at a time. So the Mishnah, the general broad topic that we're talking about is judgment. And as we'll see as we go along, we'll have to see who this Mishnah is geared towards. Who's it talking to? And that is going to change what the message of the Mishnah is. So let's jump in. Source number A on the top of the page. Rabbi Shmuel beno Omer. So Rabbi Shmuel, his son, said as follows. Does anybody remember the previous Mishnah, what it was talking about? It was a long time ago, guys. Previous Mishnah. Laser, you're not sitting yet? The previous Mishnah spoke about being mechabed the Torah. Right, so the concept of the previous Mishnah was to honor the Torah. So this Mishnah, as we'll see, it will build off of that. It was stated by the son of the author of the previous Mishnah, Rishmal, but no, Omer. Rishmal's son said, Hachosech atzmo min hadin. If somebody is chosech, refrains from judgment, Korek mimenu eva v'gozel v'shvua shav. He rids himself of enmity, robbery, and false swearing. Okay, so is being chosech, running away from judgment, a positive thing or a negative thing? It's positive, because when I do it, when I run away, I avoid all these terrible things. So I want to run away from judgment. The question is, what's judgment and who are we talking to? But the Mishnah continues, Bahagas libo behora'a. Somebody who is presumptuous, he is arrogant, perhaps impetuous when it comes to giving a judgment, that person is a shota rasha vegas ruach. He's foolish, he's wicked, and arrogant. So who's our Mishnah talking to?
Us?
Everyone? So are you a judge? Okay, so what are our options? So our options are to say that this Mishnah is broadly speaking to everybody, and we want to take it metaphorically in terms of what the word judgment means, that we judge other people. So there's some message about judging other people. Okay, we'll get there, but I wouldn't say that that's the pshat, or the simple explanation of the Mishnah. Let's start, yes, I know what you're about to say, but let's start backwards. Let's start with the second half. The second half, it says, Hagas libo behora. Somebody who is arrogant when it comes to providing a hora. Hora isn't exactly the judgment that you're referring to. If you want to read this metaphorically, and we're talking about judging other people, hora sounds like I'm giving a psak, I'm giving a din, I'm giving an actual judgment in a case. That's how we generally use the word hora. So if somebody is arrogant when giving a hora, so who's that talking about? Who gives this hora? A dayan, a judge. So it sounds like, at least from the second half, that we're talking about a judge. Now, if you go back to the first half, this first half also seems to be, I would say my gut reaction would be just talking to a judge. Somebody who's chosech atzmo min hadin. Somebody who avoids judgment, din, judging others, as a judge. But now we run into a problem, because what are we saying? We're saying somebody who's chosech from a judge who runs away from judging is, it's great, it's awesome, it's amazing. Now that doesn't make any sense, right? So that's our problem. Our problem is if the second half, which it seems like is talking to a judge, then let's assume the first half is talking to a judge. And the problem is that if the first half is talking to a judge, the message seems to be off. Run away from going in and putting on the robes and judging other people. So we'll have to understand. Yeah.
Perhaps the first half could be referred to as to recuse himself for some conflict or
a Okay, so maybe it's talking to a judge, but it's an exceptional case. We're not talking about a normal case. It's talking about an exceptional case, maybe as to, for some reason, he shouldn't be sitting on this case, and therefore he should avoid it for a specific reason. That could be. It's sort of limiting in its message, and if it was that specific, I would perhaps have rather it spelled that out, but it definitely can be read that way, that for specific situations, judges who shouldn't be sitting on this case should remove themselves from the case. Okay, I like it. Freddie?
So I kind of look at the pronoun in the third person. I think it would be an individual that acts impulsively to judge someone.
Okay, so again, that's a more metaphoric reason that we're talking about judging others more generally, not a judge per se, but we all judge others, we all judge ourselves, we are internal judges. So that could be a reading, we'll get to that at the end, but that I don't know if that's the simple shot reading of this. One more and then we'll see the Mefarshim. Okay, the judge shouldn't be judgmental. Okay, good. So we'll see that as well all the way at the end. Yes, you still have what you want to say?
Yeah, first half is talking.
Okay, so another possible explanation. The first half is talking about a litigant. So spell that out.
Plaintiff, really. Don't run to court. Obviously, if you have some sort of case, don't run. You know, don't run to court. Refrain yourself from seeking the judgments. Because if you do that, you're not going to have envy. Then obviously, you're not going to have the other guy hate you. You're not going to have. You're not going to. If you win properly, if the judge gives you the wrong decision, then you're going to be possibly. Complicit in robbery, and the third one also, false swearing. If you go to court, you might end up falsely swearing because you think you're right. You think this is the way you need to do it.
Okay, great. So let's recap, and then we're going to see all this inside from different mefarshim. We have three possibilities, all gained from you guys. Number one is that we're talking about an actual judge. Number two is that we're talking about a litigant. We're talking about the plaintiff or the defendant, whoever it is. Don't go into judgment as best as you possibly can. We'll have to see the message there. And the number three is that it's talking more broadly about judging people in a social context, not in a courtroom context. Yes, let's jump into source number one. So the Abarbanel says as follows. Rabbi Shmuel asher ben mishmasenu zos. Rabbi Shmuel, who's speaking in this Mishnah, Shayabinosha Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta Lahagid. So Rabbi Shmuel is the son of Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. He tells us as follows: Shiroi Shiyilmad Adam Toraso Lishma Lolis Yar Mimenu Bahoras Vilases Dinim VYisrael. That a person should not try to, his Torah should be Lishma. So he's connecting it, the Yabarbanel is connecting it to many things that we've read about in the past, that when we're learning Torah, we shouldn't learn Torah in order to get money. Remember, we spent the whole shiur talking about that. We shouldn't learn Torah in order to get some extrinsic reward from it. I should do it for the sake of learning Torah, not to be arrogant, not to be a kardom lachborba, not to be somebody who uses this Torah to show how great I am, right? Rather, and so he's saying the same thing applies to Dayanu. We're now transitioning from regular learning Torah to psak, to giving a judgment in a case. So now we're talking to judges, he says. Kilafisha Rabbi Tzadok Omer, he's going to bring, as Yabarbanel likes to do, he likes to tie the message in a Mishnah to the running theme throughout the parak in previous Mishnayos. So he's about to run through some previous Mishnayos that we saw, which is good review for us. So Rabbi Tzadok says, Al tasa atara lisgadol behem. The Torah should not be a crown that you are using to self-aggrandize. Velo kardom lachtoch behem. And it should not be like a spade to dig with. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, and then Rabbi Yossi Aglili in the previous Mishnah said, Amachabres HaTorah Gufo Mechubar Al Abrios, that we should honor the Torah for the sake of the Torah, and that will benefit us in the long run. And now Rabbi Yishmael comes in, and Maskim L'Zeh Atzmo, he's agreeing to everything that was stated until this point. End of the fourth line, Shachosech Atzmo Mios Dayan V'Shofet Yifrok Mimenu Eva Mi'abal Dinen. If I avoid becoming a judge, then I am going to avoid having other people be upset at me. And that apparently is a positive thing. You might have made the argument that, too bad, this is a responsibility. You are somebody who has the ability, you have the knowledge to judge, and therefore you have to step in and, okay, so somebody's going to be upset at you. I don't care if somebody's upset at you. This is your responsibility. That doesn't seem to be the message. The message seems to be try at all possible, if at all possible, to avoid this responsibility, this role, because this role is going to lead you to have people be upset at you. And we don't want that. We don't want people being upset at you. So that's number one. Ki tamid, he continues, ha-mechuyavim misra'amim v'choshvim shisbiru panim l'balei rivam. So it always is going to happen. Psychological fact that if you judge and decide to one side, the other side will disagree and not like you. So it's a lose. You're going to lose. No matter what, you as a judge are going to lose because somebody's not going to like you. Saying why? So that's one reason don't be a judge. Don't be a judge because people are not going to like you. What's another reason not to be a judge? Because you might mess up. That's a pretty big deal. Right? Somebody didn't owe somebody money and you said they did owe them money, or vice versa, or whatever the case is. But dinin nafasho is even worse. You're judging and you're making a mistake. That could be really detrimental. The choshekeni maya bedinin nefashos, right? Especially if you're talking about capital cases, not just monetary cases. V'gam kein porik meno shvua shav im nasam lechem em shvua alushneim shebechor chachem nishbol shav. So as a judge, you're going to require somebody to take an oath, right, to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And what's going to happen? One of them is going to lie, or might lie. So you, as the judge, has caused somebody to say a false oath in Hashem's name. That's pretty bad. They didn't have to swear and they swore instead. That's not good either. If you don't have to swear, you shouldn't swear. So that's, again, these are reasons why you shouldn't be a judge. You should be chosech asman adin. You should avoid becoming a judge. Avoid this because of all these negative consequences. Who said you need three judges? Okay, so that's going to lead us into the next Mishnah. Okay, we're not there yet, but who said you need three judges? And even those three judges might make a mistake. Doesn't mean because you have three, you're good. Yeah?
I don't agree with three and four. Judge is not forcing these people to swear. Yeah. Judge isn't dragging them into court. They come into court of their own volition. They either cause the problem or are suing or whatever it is. The judge isn't making them falsely swear.
Well, to some extent, you're responsible for it. Not fully responsible. It's, you're right. It's the situation. It's the environment. It's the requirement. But to some extent, I'm telling you, you got to do this. So I have some level of responsibility here. So he's saying, avoid doing this at all costs. So now, what we still have a problem. So who's going to be the judge? You're telling everybody, don't be the judge. So who's going to be the judge? And I would say even more fundamentally problematic, not just functionally who's going to judge, is that you're basically calling into question this whole enterprise as being negative. The whole thing is a bad situation. This isn't how we want to look at being a judge, and the whole court system should be one that we look up to with reverence and we look up to with pride, and we want to look at this as something that we're trying to get din and we're trying to find God's justice in this world. We're going to be the messengers to bring that down into the world, and all of a sudden you're putting a pretty negative spin on the whole concept of judgment and the court system. Yeah. Aaron brought peace. Everybody liked Aaron, but Moshe had to make the tough decisions, and people didn't like him because of that, right? For sure. It's a good point. So now we'll go to the last line here. Yes, in the corner. Sefer Shoftim. Right. Yeah, and that didn't turn out so well. But yeah, so you're correct. There might be some psychological evidence and historical evidence to this being true, but it's still problematic to think about this this way, to look at judgment in this sort of negative spin. And then just from a functional perspective, who's going to be the judge? You're convincing everyone this is the worst thing to do. Like you're in graduate school, you're in law school, you're wherever, and they're like, you know what? You spent years and years training for this, but I'm going to tell you, don't do it. It's the worst thing you could possibly do. You know, but pay your tuition bills. So look at the last line, though, of the Abarbanel, towards the end of the second to last line. Ve'ena kavana shehamemuna lios dayan yivrach v'lo yishpot. The point here is not that somebody who's appointed to be a judge should run away and not judge. Because then we don't have any, then again, that's our problem. There's not going to be any concept of judges because you're telling everybody to run away. So then we're back to square one. You're telling us it's terrible, don't do it, stay away, but don't stay away because we need you. So who's the message to, what's the message, where are we going with this? Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say. If you divide to whom the message, I think the message is to judges. Because there is a senior judges and there is not senior judges. So they say to the junior judge, don't judge before the senior judge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. We'll jump off of what Laser just said. Look at source number three. Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's Rabbeinu Yonah basically asked the question just by quoting a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says you need judges. So what are you doing here, Rabbi Yishmael? Right? We need judges. The kasuv tzedek tirdof shemitzvah ladun esadin. It's a mitzvah to do this. It's stronger than just we need it. We need it. You're obligated to do it. Zeh b'makom she'ein sham dayanim acherim. That's only if there's nobody else. Right. So if I have a choice, I'm just a random person, I have a choice. I could be a judge, I don't have to be a judge. Somebody else is going to do it. So you're going to career counseling here. What should I do? Don't be a judge. Somebody else is going to do it. Let the other person do it. Rabbi Shmuel is giving you advice. Don't become a judge. Somebody else will take care of it. So about Kozman Shiyuko Lachso Chasatzmo Tovlo Lahashlech Olo Alachirim Shemonea Atzmo Mikama Sveikos. Let somebody else do it. You're going to avoid all this problem because it's not a good profession to be in. The profession is going to make you miserable because you're going to have people angry at you. You're going to have the anxiety about whether or not you're doing the right thing or not doing the right thing. And then you're going to come home every night and you're going to complain to your spouse that you hate your job. So don't do it. Let somebody else do it.
He's saying
Rabbeinu Yonah, he's saying don't let somebody else do it. You personally, you're coming to me for advice, don't do it. Go do something else. Right? Now. Sounds like many professions. Right? But yes.
Yeah, I think we're saying two things. We're saying on the one hand we need the judges, on the other hand it's saying don't judge. So in order to do those two things, you need to have a judge who says, okay, I'm not going to judge. I'm going to try to get a pshara between the two sides.
Okay.
So
let's lead to source number four. You guys are doing this all by yourself. Look at source number four. Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, what does this mean? It means I want you to go to arbitration. The judge doesn't want this to go to court. The judge is trying to convince the lawyers to figure this out, or the two parties to figure this out before we go to court. I want to avoid court at all costs. Let's try to do a pshara, to compromise, to figure this out without going to court. Because once you go to court, then you have all these problems. Then, first of all, it's not a compromise. I have to tell you who's right, who's wrong, and then somebody's going to be upset at me. And then you're going to have to take these shvuos, and then somebody's going to take a shvuah that they don't have to take. And then, you know, all these bad things are going to come out of it. So let's not avoid figuring out who's right and who's wrong, let's not avoid having a system of justice. That's what we want. We just want the justice system to ideally be based on figuring this out, not in a courtroom. Let's compromise, let's figure out how we can go on, move forward without getting this into an actual formalized court, because once we do that, all these bad things come out.
Rashi sees it from the text.
So you're avoiding judgment, not being a judge. Okay, good. All right, so that's the point of Rashi. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah, that's Rashi. Now look at, let's go back. We skipped source number two, the Abarbanel. This is what Yossi was referring to before. Source number two, the Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel says we're not talking about judges. We're talking about the litigants. So Lefisha Rabbi Yossi, Davar Lamaila b'Mechabedes HaTorah. Again, source number two. So we're talking about one way of being mechabed the Torah and one way of disgracing the Torah. What's the one way of being mechabed the Torah? That's the main point. I'm not going to bring anybody to court. I'm not going to do it. Not the judge, but me. You owe me money, I'm not bringing you to court. I'm going to figure it out, but I'm not bringing you to court. Let's say you tell me you owe me that I owe you money, so I'm gonna try to create some sort of way to wiggle out of it. I'm gonna try to avoid paying you. No, the message is to me: pay the guy. Don't try to be this guy who. Right, okay, I don't know if this is an exact muscle here, but you get a parking ticket, right? So, you know, the whole enterprise of trying to avoid paying for a parking ticket might be what he's saying here to avoid. You're responsible. Pay the parking ticket. Pay the parking ticket. Again, it's not the same thing. It's not based in. It's not exactly what we're talking about. But if you did something wrong, don't try to go to court to figure out a way to get away from paying what you have to pay. You pay. Take responsibility for what you did wrong. The Vaday... Mekadesh es Hashem. By doing that, by being responsible for what you've done, and then avoiding to have somebody force you to go to court to pay you what you owe them. That's the way to be mechabed the Torah. And by doing that, you're porik menu eva. You're avoiding fights and gezel and shvu shav, etc. Dekeven shumi atzmo dandino. You are judging yourself. V'rachovlas when you're realizing that you yourself have to pay. You're going to avoid all these fights and you're going to avoid all this problem. So the message here is not to the judge per se, but it's to the me as a, if I owe somebody money, to pay up. Avoid bringing it to court. Yeah.
And of course you feel that you wrongly received the parking ticket or the speeding
ticket. Then fight it. Again, that's not the point. The point here is not that you should, you know, volunteer yourself as being guilty when you're not. Right? It's not like, okay, you know, you're charging me for murder. I know I didn't do it, but you know, I'm going to avoid going to court because it's not worth the fight. Right? So obviously that's not the point. If I feel like I did that I am innocent, then fine. But that's usually not what happens. That usually people like they'll go and they'll search for the, you know, the somebody else's meter ticket and all that stuff. I got a ticket on Friday, and I didn't deserve it. I said I'm gonna fight it. I don't need to fight it. I'm just gonna show them. I put it in my phone. I have the app. Yeah, they can do this all on an app. So I paid it on an app, and the guy gave me a ticket like 30 seconds after I paid it on my app. So I have clear proof that I'm good. So that's that. I think I'm allowed to go to court for that. You don't go to court. You just put it online, and they. Rip. Okay. Either way. Okay. So far we have three ideas. Number one is that it's talking to a judge and telling the junior judge or a non-necessary judge, avoid going to judgment if you don't need to. Number two, it's talking to a judge and it's telling the judge that you should try to do pshar, you should try to compromise, not bring it to court. Or number three, it's talking to the litigant saying, you know, try to avoid this, just pay your bills and move forward. Now, the final idea here in the first part of the shir, source number five, is what you also suggested, is that perhaps it's not talking specifically to judges, and it's not talking about a courtroom per se, but it's talking to all of us, and it's a broader ethical message, or character message, about how we should behave when it comes to judging others, as well as our general personality. So look at source number five here, the Schus Avos. It says as follows, Efshar Lefarish, Al Pi Masha Amru, Lo charbu Yerushalayim ela al shedanu badin Torah v'lo yu'asin lifnim mishuras hadin. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that Yerushalayim was destroyed because everybody went to the din. They wanted the judgment. They wanted to know exactly who's right, who's wrong. And
the second, right?
Sure.
Okay,
but I mean, this is one of those things that we spoke about on Tisha B'Av. Like, there's like five plus statements that say Yerushalayim was only destroyed because of this, and they're all different reasons. But so you could go and put all the reasons together to find a common theme behind them. But here, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they did din and not lifnim mishuras hadin. So lifnim mishuras means to go above and beyond, to not just go in terms of what's strict law, but to go to be extra patient, to be extra to give over more, to not just say like, you owe me, that's it, give me, to be a little bit flexible. Good word, flexible. So here we go. So gam amru ba'alachta b'drachav, the pasuk says to walk in Hashem's ways. Mahu racham afatate racham, just like Hashem is merciful, you should be merciful. Nimseis atalomid da derech atova yashal isnag adam mechon yano imabrios b'midas hachesed v'arachamim. When dealing with other people, our best bet is to take a mindset of patience, of mercy, of being nice to people, about letting things brush off our backs. By being patient, by letting things go, then you are bringing the geula, you're bringing the redemption, and people will like you, God will like you, etc. V'hainu gufa remezlan tavo didan ba'amru hachosech atzmo min hadin. So this is alluded to in this Mishnah. Somebody who's chosech atzmo min hadin. Ritzono lomar, you're avoiding din. Ritzono lomar shekol atzmo hu nimna b'chol midosav she'eno misnagi b'nei adam b'minas hadin. It means I, as a person, avoid judging others with strict justice, with judgment. It is not my job to look at other people and to say, you owe me, this is it, it's over, no flexibility, no forgiveness. Din. So chosech atzmo min hadin means you avoid judging others with this midas hadin. Bein b'midei drara d'mamono, bein b'nyanei hakavod. Whether it's talking about money or whether it's talking about honor. So somebody slighted you or somebody owes you money. So there is a place, depends how much we're talking about here, but there is a place to let the money go. I think I might have shared with you in the past before. Somebody once borrowed a book of mine and lost it. And this is 15 years ago or so. And I kept asking him for it, like, you know, do you have the book? Do you have the book? Do you have the book? And like it really, like, my not being able to just give, I wasn't a persistent, like every single time I saw him, but I had, like, you know, but he didn't tell me he lost it. He didn't tell me. He said, yeah, I'm gonna get it. So he sort of led me on a little bit, and I kept asking for the book. And there's no question in my mind that that this little stupid $10 book impacted our relationship, right? And if I was just able to say to myself, just let it go, buy another book. Now, again, from his perspective, he should have told himself, you know, I should just get him the book. Right, but that's not the point. The point here is that if I'm going with midas hadin, listen, you borrowed a book, you give me back the book, but there are negative consequences to me too with that, because then the relationships. But if I get to say, okay, $10, let's let $10 go. Chafetz Chaim said that you should have a little fund that just goes to lost money, right? It's that if somebody owes you money, like, just, it's not worth like starting a fight over $5. Just let it go. Don't worry about it. So that's the idea here. Is if you go with midas hadin, then you're going to have all these problems. You're going to have the eva, you're going to have the shvua shav, you're going to have all these problems that are going to come along with it. But if you can do midas harachem, if you can let it go, if you can be flexible, if you can be, as we sometimes say, ma'abir al midosav, just let things go, you're much better off. People are going to like you. It's going to help you in the next world too. Kevan Shemaber al Midosa, Mavir in Loa Kol Pshav, as the Gemara says that if I let things go, then God will let things go too. He'll look over some of my sins. Vegam Nitzo Mikol Inyan Gezel, and it's going to avoid robbery, etc., etc., etc. You get the idea. So the idea here for the Tzchus Avos is more of a metaphorical idea for all of us, not specific for judges, but don't treat others with Midas HaDin, treat others with Midas HaRachman. So that's all of our four explanations of what does it mean to be Choseich Atzmo Min HaDin. Which leads us to the second part of the Mishnah, which is Gas Libo Behora, somebody who is presumptuous in giving a legal decision. That's foolish, wicked, and arrogant. So let's see what this means. So flip the page. Presumptuous in judgment. So presumably, the way you understand the first half of the Mishnah is going to impact the way you understand the second half of the Mishnah. So let's just go with the understanding. Is there a way to understand the Mishnah? If you remember, there's one person who said the Mishnah is not talking to judges, it's talking to the litigants. So if the first part is talking to the litigants, what's the second part talking about? Can you read the second part as talking to the litigants, or can you only read it as talking to the judges? Hagas libo behora. Somebody who's presumptuous. So here the English translation is giving a judicial decision. But can you read it in a different way that allows you to interpret it as a message for the litigants as well? Hagas libo behora. Okay, so keep that in mind. We're going to see the sources. So our one possibility is that it's going to talk to judges, and we'll have to see what the message of Gas Libo Behora is. The other possibility is that it's talking to the litigants, and we'll have to see how you can read a message to the litigants in there as well. So let's look at source number 6. Okay, so Rabbi Shalom is saying is that maybe you could say the first half is talking to the litigants, and the second half is talking to the judges. That's possible, but generally, we like to see some level of consistency within Mishnah, especially if the same person's talking. But it's not impossible to say that it's talking to two different people, for sure. Okay, so we'll have to see. Is there a way to interpret that? Is there a way to interpret that talking to the litigants? Let's see. Source number 6. Medrash Shmuel. V'ari kasa b'shem ha'mefarshim. So the Ri says hachosich asma min adin. So the first half of the Mishnah is talking about im habal din midaber shiachsuch atzmo milavo bedinim chavero v'ispasher imo v'yifrok miatzmo evas bal ribo. So he's saying the first half is talking to the litigants. So that if you understand the first half is talking to the litigants to avoid going to court if possible. So then middle of the second line here. So I think maybe I'm misinterpreting what he means, but I think what he's saying is that Gas Libo Behora means that I think I'm right. Right, so if the litigant thinks that he's right, so he's arrogant in the sense that he thinks there can't be another side to the story. Right? So it's like I'm so stuck in my opinion that I can't open up my mind to the possibility that there are other opinions out there. So that's talking perhaps to the litigant, and that's the reason why he's going to the court case in the first part. Meaning he's going to the court case because he thinks there's no other way of going about it. So the two are connected. Is that I bring you, Choseich Atzmo Min HaDin means that I avoid going to judgment, right? Because I can compromise. And then the Gas Libo Behora is that I'm going to bring you to judgment because I can't even think about compromise. I know I'm right and you're wrong. So therefore, I'm going to go to court. So it's basically, according to this understanding, it's the same thing. It's the converse. The first is that I'm flexible enough, I'm humble enough to realize that I could compromise. The second one is that I'm not, and therefore I don't go to court. The second one is that I have no way of understanding anybody else's opinion, and therefore I go to court and I'm going to bring you to court. So that's the Gas Libo Behora. So that's one possibility. But now the other possibilities are going to be talking to the judges. So what does it mean to a judge to be Gas Libo Behora? So anybody, before we read it inside, anybody have any opinions here? What would it mean for a judge to be Gas Libo Behora?
Yeah,
Okay, so one possibility is that he's impetuous, right? He decides the case before he hears all the facts. Okay, good. What other possibility? It's another possibility.
He's impatient.
Okay, that's similar. He's impatient. Think about judges, right?
Bribed.
Okay, bribed. What? Very simply. What? Okay, so he'll pervert the judgment in general. That's a more broad statement. But think about what Gottsliebo is. Yeah.
This doesn't take it seriously enough.
Okay, maybe doesn't take it seriously enough. Yeah.
Maybe he thinks he's always right, no matter what.
Okay, so maybe he thinks he's always right. Okay, good. I like it. There's one more simple explanation here.
Maybe he doesn't take himself seriously, but he takes himself too seriously.
Okay, so the judge is arrogant because he thinks he's God, right? He thinks he's awesome. He thinks he's amazing. Gottsliebo bara, I give judgment. Look how great I am. Look how awesome I am. Right? So the message is, don't do that. So now, so we'll have to, we'll delve into some details. But there's a message here to judge in terms of your personality. Again, I like the don't be too impetuous. We'll see that inside too. But don't be too arrogant. Just don't be arrogant thinking you're so great. Even if you judge correctly. Let's say you're a fair judge and you know and you're not impetuous. And you listen to both sides. You're like, oh, look how great I am. Look how awesome I am. I just judge the case. I just, split the baby in half. Like, that. Look how awesome I am. Right? So now, let's look at source number 7. So Tiferes Yisrael says as follows. So you're a shote. So the Gottsliebo bara is shote. He's stupid. Why is he stupid? Mishim is ga'e v'dochach es atzmo lios dayon vaday shote. So he says a little bit differently. If you're somebody who has gaiva and you push yourself to become a judge, you're stupid. You're a shote. Why? Shemar bela atzmo oivim al lo davar. So connecting to the first half of the Mishnah, right? So first half of the Mishnah is saying don't be a judge. Second half of the Mishnah is saying, let's say you're so arrogant that you want to be a judge for all the prestige and all the promise that comes with being a judge. Well, that's stupid, because what's going to happen to you? You think you're getting such a great job, but what's going to be the end? People are going to hate you. Nobody's going to like you. It's going to come with anxiety, it's going to come with depression, it's going to come with all that stuff because you hate your job. So that's one possibility. O rotza lomar shu shota, another possibility of why it's a silly thing to do. Again, we're using harsh language to some extent, but let's just go with it. She'eino roa onsho shemuchan lo me'akadosh baruch hu. The other thing is, you don't realize how much punishment you can possibly get about getting this job. Meaning, if you had a simple job, and you were just doing something that was like basically like you put in your 9 to 5, the responsibilities were simple, nobody's gonna get hurt, nothing's really on the line, you get your paycheck and you move on, fine. But you're taking a lot of responsibility, because if you get this wrong, guess who you have to answer to? Hashem. There's gonna be a lot of judgment on you if you do this poorly. Okay? So by just jumping into this, you're sort of blinding yourself from all the possible consequences of what it means to be a judge. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says a judge should always look like there's like a pit like opened up right underneath him that he can drop into Gehenna at any point in time. Why? Because that's how important this job is. That's how you have to take this incredibly seriously. So the message is, so if you jump into this, right? That's pretty silly. Now, denirali derotzlamar shiyura shecherv muchan lidkor gufo begehena muchan laonash nishmaso shneim yuchal lahamis kishlo yiten din sedek vashota azay ino choshes lachol eila. You're not worried about all the possible negative consequences that come out from this job. Again, repeat all the questions we asked in the beginning. What? Okay, Rasha's next. Okay, so Shote we just explained. It's silly because you're not looking at all the possibilities that can go wrong here. Why are you a Rasha for wanting to be Gottsliebo bara? So look what he says here. Rasha next. We're in the third line of source number 7. She'eino choshesh legezel v'shvua shav she'is gagal al yado. So he's calling you a Rasha because you don't care about all of the averos that are going to come out about within your parameters of you being a judge. Right, so there's going to be false testimony, there's going to be false witness, and again, as we said earlier, you have some level of responsibility for that, and therefore you get some negative punishments because of all the problems that came out in your courtroom. Vigas ruach, and what's this arrogance here? Shiboteach begavaso keilu eno yachol litos. You think you're so great, you can't make any mistake. If you have even one of these three things, that's pretty bad. Especially if you have all three of these things, your Shota, your Rasha, and your Gas Ruach, that's a pretty bad personality structure to go into the world with. Okay, so I'll take your comment in a second. According to the Tiferes Yisrael, both parts of the Mishnah are sort of reflective of each other, and the main message is, don't be a judge. Run away from being a judge if at all possible. Yes, Barbara.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the last few words in the first line where it says, they know that he doesn't see the punishment as coming from Hashem because he thinks he's always right.
Okay. I hear. I'm not sure that's what it means, but I think if you want to read it that way, I think you can. Yeah.
The Sefus Abba said, quote on the previous page, I think it's a Hasidic commentary on the others. On the first Mishnah, Hevel Misumim Badin, his point there is striking to say that all of the tragedies that have befallen the Jewish people throughout history are due to having corrupt judges, our corrupt judges. So it's extremely intense, position.
Okay, I hear. So, but just keep in mind, as of this point, nobody, and this is sort of what Dr. Brooker was saying, we're not talking about corruption. Right? Nope. You said in terms of like, you know, getting bribed or judging the rich person or the poor person. Nobody said you're even doing as a judge are doing anything wrong. It's the whole enterprise is problematic. That's really the striking part of this. But I hear what you're saying. There's a big, huge responsibility to being a judge. And because of the possibility of corruption, many bad things could possibly happen. Chaim, then we're going to keep going.
Who in their right mind, after all of this, would consider becoming a judge? And we live in a society, in general, that requires it. And our own people require it. We have it as part of the Torah.
So
is somebody supposed to say, I'm looking at the ground opening up, swallowing me, I'm never going to be a judge, and the next guy, and the next guy, and they look over itself, and there's no judges.
So, again, as we pointed out in the beginning, that is a problem with the message of the Mishnah. I would assume, and it's even a stronger problem, you can ask the question even better, because let's say you're all these nice, good people who would become judges, right, and Rabbi Shmuel scaring them off, and then who's going to end up becoming the judges?
The bad ones.
Right? So it's even more problematic. So I think the easy way out of all of this is just to read it somewhere along the lines of the way Rashi read it takes away all of these problems. Rashi just says, be a judge, just as a judge, try to avoid the courtroom. Right? That takes away all the problems. Within these mefarshim, you're right, it's a very strong question that why would anybody want to be a judge after reading all of this? But you know what? The truth is, in many professions, they do similar things. If you went to teacher school, a lot of them tell you, it's great. Teachers have, there's a big payoff to being a teacher. It can be great and awesome and amazing. But practically speaking, it's very hard. And you're going to come home some days and hate it. And lawyers, same thing. You're going to come home and hate it. And there are going to be days where you're going to come be a psychologist. There are going to be days where you're going to be stressed out and overwhelmed. Basically, any profession is like that. But the concept here is to, I don't know why is he trying to prevent people from becoming judges? Is he trying to prevent his students from becoming judges? Maybe he says, let the other schools make you judges. You sit and learn Torah. Don't be a judge. I don't want to have to deal with all of that. Just sit and learn. Maybe.
Well, if we extrapolate from what we said before, then it's not Dafka talking about real judges, when anyone who's in a judging position, whether you're a father in a family and your children are coming to you with something, or a mother, I'm sorry, right? Does that mean that we are supposed to refrain from making judgments in our own families for that?
Maybe. I would be... Let's hold off on that for a second. I will probably end off next week with tying that all together, because I think we're probably not going to finish all this now. But the answer might be, yes, avoid making judgments. What does that mean, avoid making judgments, practically speaking? We'll hold off on it. Somebody give me a time catch, please.
7:05.
Okay, so yeah, so we'll finish up this part and save that part for next week. Yeah.
I would just say that's what I think about before, but the extra time, if they answer all these sources outside of Rashi and outside of Ezra Shmuel, if the Mishnah is talking to you. There are certain people who need to be judges. There are certain people who have the right mindset and kirishamayim to be the judge, and some people don't. And you need to know which side of that divide you're on. The Mishnah is talking to you if you're on the wrong side of the divide. Of course, the pasuk says you have to have judges. And to that right person, you do become a judge. And obviously, you approach it correctly. And in court, like Rashi probably says, try to avoid the court as much as possible. But nonetheless, don't run away from that. I think that perhaps, even though I don't see it necessarily in the words, but just trying to balance the Mishnah with the pasuk, that what he's really saying, is if you're not the right one, you should be running away from it.
I like it. I don't. It's. I think, as you said, to say that he's talking to the wrong ones to stay far away. The idea is nice. I'm not sure it fits within the words per se, but I hear it. Okay, so let's finish off this section here. Look at source number 8. The Rambam, in a few words, gives off a lot of important ideas here. So he says, 8, Gaslibo. What does it mean to be Gaslibo Bahora? Boteach umeaz lahoros mevli yira umevli mesinos. So somebody who's, and somebody said it before, is that you're so confident in yourself that when you give the judgment, you don't have any fear and you don't have any patience. And I think those are two important ideas here. Is that number one, in terms of the patience, as we said, started off at the Musuna Medin, part of being a judge that you have to have patience, you have to listen to all sides, you have to think about it, you have to deliberate. You can't just, I know what it is. You always got to take a step back and think about all sides, etc. But I like this concept of Yira as well. That when it comes to being a judge, you have to have a healthy dose of fear, of concern. And this gets back to a theme we've spoken about a number of times, spoken about it in the Cognitive Behavior Shuva Shir 2 weeks ago, but we also spoke about it in a few Pirkei Avos Shirs, that there is a concept of feeling a healthy amount of concern, of anxiety, if you will, about what you do. And you shouldn't be so confident in yourself if you're a judge and feel no negative emotions. Right? You should feel... I'm nervous about what I'm about to do. There's a lot going on here, and there's a lot of negative consequences that could come out of this. So I should feel yira. I should feel some element of fear about what I'm about to judge, and that should motivate me to take a step back and reflect and deliberate as well. It shouldn't freeze me that I can't do anything, but it should help motivate me to realize that this is an important thing and it requires thinking and it requires me to make the right choice. Right. Okay, so there's money on the line here. Okay. That'll scare anybody. Okay, so now, final explanation here for this part, source number 9. Gaslibo Ba'ara, the Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. Samach zeh hadavar l'chosech atzmo min hadin, shu inyon hafach mimenos. As we explained within the Tiferes Yisrael, this second half of the Mishnah is the converse of the first half of the Mishnah. So somebody who avoids judgment, that is because he's doing it and he knows it takes a lot of time, he knows it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of, it's just a burden to do so. Aval hagasli b'barash shechoshev v'atzmo ki yodeya lahoros b'din v'lo yita hareza shota. If you think, nah, don't worry about it, I got this. This is simple. Piece of cake. I can be a good judge. That's, you're fooling yourself. That's a shota. Nikra shota m'nei shuchacham be'enav v'en lecha shtus gadol mizeh ki tikva l'ksil mimenu. Right, so he says this is a very powerful point. Right, the worst type of somebody who's a shoteh is somebody who thinks they're smart. Right, the stupidest person is the person who thinks he's smart. Why? Because they don't realize that they're stupid, and they don't realize that they can improve, that they need to work on themselves. Right, because somebody, if you're a ksil, not a shota, but if you're a ksil, you're making mistakes, you realize you're making mistakes, you have a chance at least to fix it. Because maybe I can repair and go back and do tshuva. Somebody who thinks he's great, there's no hope for that person. He thinks he's right. He's not going to do tshuva. He's not going to change himself. Right? This is the reason why people who are angry generally don't go for help. Because when you're angry, you think you're right. And that's usually part of the source of the anger. So I'm right. And that's the word here being used is that you're shota because you have no chance of fixing that. Because you think you're right. At least if I know I have a problem, I can try to fix it. It might be hard to fix it. But if I'm angry and always right, I'm never going to try to fix it. And that's here he's not talking about anger. He's talking about the arrogance of judgment, but it's the same similar idea in terms of not being able to fix it. So that's why he's a shota. Why, as Rabbi Shloni asks, is he a rasha? V'rasha, why is he wicked? Afal pisha amar ki shota, ein b'chal oto alashon she'enu yurechet. Being a shota, being stupid, doesn't mean that I don't fear sin. I can be stupid and fear sin. V'alzeh hutzroch lomar ki hu rasha, shim haisa bo yira shamayim lo haya atz v'dvarav kol kach, because he would realize that I can make mistakes. People make mistakes, right? So being arrogant, you think you don't make mistakes. Being real with yourself and with mankind and human beings, you realize that people make mistakes. Then he says, you're not just stupid, you're not just a rasha, but you're also somebody who is arrogant. Why are you arrogant? Because you think, why are you doing this so quickly? Why are you trying to show, look, I figured this case out, 1 hour, I'm done, I got it.
To show up,
look how smart I am, I can do this really quickly. And these three together is going to be a big problem, and we don't want these character traits for judges. Okay, so we're gonna end off over here, but prime you for next week. Right? So next week, if you look right under where B is the second part of Rabbi Shmuel's statement, where he says, Hu haya omer alti dan yechidi. You shouldn't judge alone. Shein dan yechidi ela echad. There's only one person or one being that dan yechidi, that judges alone, and presumably who's that talking about? Hashem, although we'll see some who disagree with that. Ba'al tomar kiblu daiti shein reshaim v'lo ata. Don't say, accept my view, because everybody has free will, if you will. Free will. Everybody has free will. End of statement. So they have permission, you don't. We'll see what that means as well. But you see that Rabbi Shmuel here is going to continue talking about judges. The concept of dan yachidi, we'll see whether that applies and is really just a continuation of what we did in this Mishnah today. And there will be some nice Musar ethical message for our personality. And we'll end off next week or with what Chaim brought up is in terms of practically speaking, if we're going to learn this Mishnah on a level that, or both these Mishnahs, on a level that requires us to reflect on ourselves, not just judges or litigants, but reflecting on how we judge others, then what's going to be the message and how are we going to practically take that away with us? Okay, so to be continued next week in the Hoffman Auditorium.